morning. I want to talk this morning about Christ, our Passover. Turn your Bibles, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. That'll be the first place where we start this morning. Paul, in this passage, was dealing with a problem in the church at Corinth. The brethren there had a man among them who had committed fornication and was refusing to repent, and the church wasn't doing anything about it. And so Paul told them they needed to withdraw from him. And then he said this in verses 6 through 8. He said, "Your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough? Clean out the old leaven so that you may be a new lump, just as you are in fact unleavened. For Christ our Passover also has been sacrificed. Therefore let us celebrate the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." There's so many points that can be made from this passage. I mean, one of which is the glorious connection with the Passover. The Passover meal in Exodus 12, God commanded that all leaven was to be removed from the households of his people. And so here, what Paul is saying is remove the sin. Sin is leaven. Remove that from the congregation. We could really talk about that, but what I really want to focus on is the end of verse 7, "For Christ our Passover also has been sacrificed." What I want us to do this morning is to take a look at some connections between the Passover lamb and Jesus Christ. And these are marvelous, and they are amazing. And we're going to take a look at just a few of them, and then talk about some of the benefits of Christ, our Passover, being sacrificed for us. So we're going to really be spending our time in Exodus 12. So let's turn to Exodus chapter 12 now as we have a look at the Passover lamb and how that relates to Jesus. Now here in this context, God is preparing the people for the 10th plague, and he is commanding them regarding the Passover meal. And so he says in verse 5, "Your lamb shall be an unblemished male, a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats." Let's pause there. So notice first that this lamb was to be unblemished. There was to be absolutely no flaw in this lamb. No flaw in its fur, no flaw in its skin, no weakness, no sort of illness or anything like that. This was to be the absolute most perfect lamb that they could find. Of course, Jesus, our Passover lamb, was unblemished. As Hebrews 4:15 says, he was tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Hebrews 7:26 says he was holy, harmless, undefiled. And Isaiah 53:9 says he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. There was no other unblemished lamb that could be offered except for Christ our Passover. You notice also that this verse in Exodus 12:5 says that this lamb should be a year old, a male a year old. Not a little ewe lamb, not a baby that hadn't yet become useful, and not an old lamb that might not have much life left in it, but a lamb a year old, still young but strong and very useful, the kind of lamb that you wouldn't want to give up. This was the very best that you could get out of your flock. This lamb had a lot of life left in it, a lot of use left in it. But that was the requirement, a year old. Jesus was taken not as a baby, even though Herod tried to kill him as a baby. He was taken not as a child before he became everything that he would become. He was taken not as an old man when he had not much life left to live, but as a young man in the prime of his life, at the age of 33, he was taken. And I think that is a connection here with the Passover lamb. Verse 6 says, you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. And verse 3 tells us that they were to separate this sheep from the flock on the 10th day of that month. It was the month of Nisan. And then it says, the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel is to kill it at twilight. And so they were to slaughter each household their own Passover lamb, slitting its throat, and the blood would pour out into a basin. And so Jesus was slaughtered on a cross, and his blood poured out for many for the remission of our sins. And he was slaughtered by the whole congregation of Israel. He was rejected wholesale by the nation of Israel, and it is their rejection that ultimately got him put on that cross. And I realize that this lamb was killed at twilight. Jesus died at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. However, there was darkness over the land for the last 3 hours that Jesus was on the cross. I don't know if that's an intentional connection here with the Passover lamb, but I find that interesting. One more verse to look at here, and that's in verse 46. Well, we'll look at more verses from here in a minute, but verse 46, one more connection that I want to look at. It, that is the Passover lamb, is to be eaten in a single house. You are not to bring forth any of the flesh outside of the house, nor are you to break any bone of it. I don't know the symbolism. I'm not sure we could surmise as to exactly why this lamb, none of its bones were to be broken. Maybe there was symbolism about the nation of Israel being united in the Exodus from Egypt. They were not to be broken and divided. So maybe, possibly, that could be. But I know the ultimate significance of the fact that no bone was to be broken is that, of course, Jesus fulfilled that. Let's hold our place here in Exodus 12, and let's turn over to John chapter 19 for a moment. John chapter 19, we're going to begin reading in verse 31. This is after Jesus has just died on the cross. John 19 and verse 31, starting, says, then the Jews, because it was the day of preparation, so that the bodies would not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Now let me pause to just mention something here. The 14th of Nisan occurred in the first century, in this year, 33 AD. It occurred on a Friday. So this is the very day when the Passover lambs would be killed, would be slaughtered, was the very day that our Passover lamb was on the cross and died for us. Verse 32, so the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first man and of the other who was crucified with him. That would hasten their deaths because they had not died yet. But coming to Jesus, when they saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. And he who has seen has testified, and his testimony is true. And he knows that he is telling the truth so that you also may believe. I love that verse. This is just eyewitness testimony. Verse 36, for these things came to pass to fulfill the scripture. And then he quotes from Exodus 12 and verse 46. John does as he writes this. Not a bone of him shall be broken. It's pretty amazing in God's providence how not a bone of Jesus was broken. I mean, if he had died some other death, if he had, for example, been beheaded, his neck would have obviously had to have been broken and split in two for that to occur. But if Jesus, even being crucified, if he had not died as quickly as he did, then his legs would have been broken just like the two thieves. You know, a lot of times people would live for days on a cross. Jesus died after only 6 hours. Why? Well, probably because of the scourging that he had received, the brutal scourging that would have caused him to lose critical amounts of fluid, would have sped up the death process for him. And so he was already dead. And they didn't have to break his legs. They just pierced his side, which fulfilled another scripture, as verse 37 points out. But God, in his amazing providence, saw to it that our Passover lamb would be just like the Passover lamb of Exodus 12, and not a bone of him was broken. Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed. Let's talk now about some of the benefits that derive from Christ, our Passover, being sacrificed for us. I want to read here in Exodus 12, verses 7 and 8. Moreover, they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the flesh that same night, roasted with fire, and they shall eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Skip down to verse 12. For I will go through the land of Egypt on that night, and will strike down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. When you and I respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and when we serve him in obedient faith, the blood of our Passover lamb is applied to the lintel and the doorposts of our heart. And when God sees that blood, he passes over us and does not render unto us the death that we all deserve. The wages of sin is death. We all deserve spiritual death. We deserve eternal death. But because of the blood of Christ, God passes over us. Paul wrote in Romans 5 and verse 9, much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. We are protected by the blood of Christ. We are redeemed by the blood of Christ. Nothing but the blood. I love that song that Jason just led. Nothing but the blood of Jesus can wash away my sins. In 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19, Peter said, you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with the precious blood as of a lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ, the blood of Christ, our Passover, has been applied. And it has a saving, redeeming power to it. Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed. This morning, we've come together to, and I realize you all aren't here together with us, but we are together in spirit, to eat this bread and to drink this cup. This is, you might say, and please understand what I mean, a spiritual Passover meal. As God commanded the Passover lamb to be eaten in Exodus 12 and verse 8, Christ, our Passover, commands that his flesh and his blood be eaten in Matthew 26, 26 and 27. Every Passover that was observed after that initial Passover at the 10th plague was a memorial of that first Passover. It was a memorial of the fact that God delivered the children of Israel out of this cruel bondage. They'd been enslaved in Egypt for 430 years. And God led them out with a powerful hand and brought them into a land flowing with milk and with honey. This spiritual Passover meal that we are eating now is a memorial of how Christ, our Passover, has saved us from spiritual death, how we can be spared from God's destroying power. And by that blood, we can be delivered from spiritual Egypt. We have been delivered from our own bondage and iniquity to sin to which we were enslaved for years. But because of the blood of Christ, our Passover, we can now enter into the land flowing with milk and honey. One day we will do that and spend eternity with each other and with our Savior. Praise be unto God, because Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed.